Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Fuller, and my guest today is Conservative mayoral candidate Joe Sullivan. And Joe Sullivan is here to discuss the ballooning deficit in the city of Albany. So, hi, Joe. When the report came out, what was your immediate reaction?
Well, I've read and skim read, and then I've kind of like reread again the financial report. It was a report allegedly prepared by an independent consulting firm, and it was about 26 pages, and it contains a number of recommendations where the city can balance their budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my initial reaction was, why don't we have elected officials? This is why we elect a mayor, common council president, and common council members. They're supposed mm-hmm. to be doing this work. Who's paying for these consultants? There's too much money being spent on consultants. This is why we elect okay. people, and let's get some talented people elected.
Mm. So overall, what was your impression?
Well, the report is a boilerplate report. This is a consulting firm that does municipal audits and so forth. And they have, it's just like the Rezone Albany, the planning group that did Rezone Albany. They put a one-size-fits-all plan together for various cities like Seattle and communities around the state in Virginia, and then they try to superimpose it on Albany. That's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I have some, I think there were some good recommendations in the report. One was to have a capital budget. Another one was mm-hmm. to audit the not-for-profits. Albany is loaded with not-for-profits. And
right.
In fact, there are just too many here. They're off the tax rolls. And the mm-hmm. last thing we need is more not-for-profits, which is what Rezone Albany is doing. It's opening up properties that are owned by churches and institutions and schools that are in decline and allowing not-for-profits to move into those properties. We should be getting property taxes from these parcels.
So how is the deficit going from 12.5 to nearly 23 million?
Well, they're spending too much. And just like mm-hmm. every household, if we spend more than we take in, we've got budget deficits, right? Well,
the right.
same thing is true with a municipality or a state government or federal government. And so mm-hmm. Albany is not alone with having huge budget deficits. Look at the federal government. Look at the state government.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
so it's simply, as the expression is, kicking the can down the road, living high today and worrying about it later, who's going to pay for it. So we're reaching
right.
that point now in the city of Albany, and we're on the verge. The Sheehan administration has actually put us on a fast track to becoming Detroit on the Hudson. Now, some of the recommendations in the report contain having fewer firemen and fewer policemen. Mm-hmm. They have specific numbers there. Well,
right.
police and fire departments and controlling overtime, things like that, those are things that have to be looked at. And the current city employees, whether they be police, fire, or white-collar workers or DGS workers, they have to realize what happened in Detroit. When the city went financially bankrupt, their pensions were cut. Their jobs were gone. So everybody
mm-hmm.
has a stake in better management of the city. And essentially, that's what that report says. There are lots of opportunities to save money, but I don't like some of the recommendations. And I agree with Frank Commissu, who you interviewed. It's not raising taxes. That's unacceptable. Now, there's one thing that Frank did not mention that's very unacceptable to me, and that's privatizing or selling the golf course. That's a city asset. The golf course currently turns a small profit. But what's mentioned there is people use that for recreation. In the off season, people go walking there. They enjoy winter cross skiing, various sledding. Kids go out there. That's an asset to the community. So I strongly oppose that recommendation.
Okay. Okay, so what else about the report that you feel is important?
Well, I think we've got to elect people who can think on their own. I think the bottom line is whoever's going to be mayor and whoever's going to be on the Common Council and the citizens, we have to put our heads together and we have to evaluate where we are, where we're spending too much money. Like you look at certain things like the special events that we have going on here. That takes a lot of police protection. We've got to look at the state with the lobbying that goes on here. You have all of these buses that come when the legislature's in session, and they bring all these groups in. They trash the Empire State Plaza. They trash the surrounding streets to cause chaos. And you have to have more police expenditures there for public safety. You have to have trash pickup. You've got students. I was down around Quail Street last week, and a couple of weeks ago, and there was all this trash on the curbs from students. Well, there should be a deposit that off-campus students have to put up to the city to pay for trash collection where they have too much waste. Things like that can be done. So there's lots of ideas.
What do you say about an influx of people? Aren't they helping the economy of the city of Albany?
Well, they're helping the economy to a certain degree. You might say that in sales taxes and so forth like that. But then you have to look at, there's a downside. Do they cost more than they bring in? So these kind of financial questions have to be really evaluated. And what I'm saying is we can do these things with our own talented elected officials and our own talented citizens. We don't have to have money spent on consultants to tell us how to solve our problems.
Do you know how much the report costs?
Pardon me?
Do you know how much the report costs?
I don't, and I'd like to know. In fact, there should be a disclaimer on every report. This report cost X number of dollars.
Right.
And who paid for it, you know? And especially Rezone Albany now. You take that. That's such a terrible piece of legislation that really negatively impacts the city. And there was nothing in the consultant report about the detrimental aspects of Rezone Albany for the city property tax base, for home values, and support for the schools. So they missed the boat on a lot of things that the city was doing wrong. And Rezone Albany is Exhibit A. Now, I'd like to see one member of the Common Council have the courage. The Rezone Albany took effect June 1st. And effectively, it was just rubber stamped by the Common Council. There were three members that voted against it. But one of the members should have the courage to step up and put in a resolution putting a moratorium on the implementation of Rezone Albany until after the new administration takes office in January. The Rezone Albany issue should be thoroughly debated and what its consequences are going to be for the city property tax base, for the quality of life in the residential areas, and support for the city schools and city government.
Now, with 12 members voting to pass Rezone Albany,
yes.
Are you more hopeful that you could get a moratorium, or anybody can get a moratorium and get enough votes to talk about this in January rather than now?
Well, it's going to be up to the people that are running for office, because those 15 members of Common Council now, the ball's in their court. Let's see them pass this resolution and put the moratorium. I'm challenging them to step up to the plate and do the right thing for the city of Albany. And then when they're around going around getting signatures on their petitions, let the people mm-hmm. ask them, did you support the moratorium? And no, mm-hmm. I didn't, or I'm not sure. Well, don't sign their petition. We've got to hold their feet to the fire. Last thing we need is, actually the most important thing we need, instead of a new mayor only, is an independent common council that's not a rubber stamp for the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was bad legislation.
So, right. But it was voted upon 12-3.
Yes, in favor.
Yeah.
So those 12 individuals, people should find out who they were. It's very easy. Actually, we can name the three that voted no.
Right.
It was Frank Commisso, to his credit, but he did nothing to lead the charge. I might point that out. He voted no, to his credit. And then you have Mark Robinson from the 5th Ward.
Right.
And I understand he gave a magnificent speech in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we can get that on your show one time with Mark.
Okay.
And then also Judd Crasher. So those were the three no votes. So people should sign their petitions. But the other 12, I wouldn't sign their petition if they came around to my door.
Wow. Now, you mentioned something as I was setting this up before we went on the air,
mm-hmm.
that we talked about the budget deficit,
right.
and you were saying something about, you know, Dan O'Connell was able to go to the state and, you know, make an argument. But, you know, in this day and age, when I talked to Jack Flynn about a conflicting thing where he had the committee meeting the same night as the LCA dinner. Jack Flynn didn't even know what I was talking about. So how can we have clout in the state legislature when the leadership in Albany doesn't even know what's going on in the state legislature?
Well, that's a real problem. In fact, well, Jack Flynn is no Dan O'Connell, and there's no Dan O'Connell or any person like Dan O'Connell in the Democratic Party at this point in time in the governing structure. So what has to happen, first of all, is Democrats, that if they really love their party, instead of just blindly following the dictates of whoever is leading it, they should restore their party to its once prideful former self. And you need to have a complete reform of the political parties here, the Democrats and the Republicans alike. There should be an active Republican Party in the city of Albany. We're doing our best with the Conservative Party, but the Democratic Party is now not the Democratic Party of old anymore. It's largely the left-wing progressives have taken control of not only the Democratic Party, but the city school system. And that's a fundamental mm-hmm. problem here. Now, for example, with the $12.5 million bailout that the governor really gave, and let's face it, the governor is virtually a dictator in state government, and he gave the $12.5 million promise to Mayor Sheehan to bail her out this year. Why did he do that? Is because he's suffering politically around the state. And he didn't need Albany, but now he realized he does need Albany to win the primary next year for governor, because it's going to be hotly contested. So he came up with the $12.5 million this year. Well, what happens next year if he loses the primary or if he wins the primary? Kiss off Albany, you know? So you don't have anybody in the stature of Dan O'Connell in the leadership of this city, mayor or county chair. So if you did have that kind of an individual there, the governor wouldn't get away with these games. For example, now, this budget could be balanced immediately. You say there's a $12.5 million gap now? Well, first thing you do is you declare Albany not a sanctuary city for illegal aliens and refugees and all these people that are overrunning our country and loading up on our welfare rolls and costing us money and not bringing us any value to the country. And secondly, you go to the state and you say to the governor, cough up the $15 million pilot, that's payment in lieu of taxes, for the Harriman State Office campus. There you've got $22 million already. You balance the books. And then you work on spending.
The Harriman campus has been talked about for many years.
Right.
I want to say 30 years, and nothing's ever done with it.
Well, I think it should remain a state office campus. It should not be sold or privatized, and that's what that report recommends too. It keeps the traffic out of the city. There's too much traffic already. And that's another thing that hasn't been recommended in this report or anywhere else. Control strict speed limits in the city. Traffic is out of control. You were over on New Scotland Avenue. I saw you there, and you saw all the traffic, and you remarked to me, isn't this such a terrible busy street? Well, all these major streets, Western Avenue, Whitehall Road, were overrun with speeding traffic. And there's not a cop in sight pulling over anybody enforcing the speed limit. They have a few of these little electronic signs they put up there, battery-operated signs, that tell you your speed limit. Well, if we've got so many police here, let's put them out in the streets. You know, get them out of some of the communities and flipping hamburgers. Get them out on patrol and enforcing the vehicle and traffic laws. And then you have to have a treasurer that collects the fines. The current mayor, when she was treasurer of the city of Albany, she ran for mayor. She left office and became mayor with a $4 to $5 million uncollected vehicle and traffic violation fees. Well, start collecting these fees. So right away, we balanced the city budget just in this little conversation.
Wow.
We don't need all this consultant.
So you're going to be running for mayor on the conservative line, right?
I am, yes. And if I'm elected mayor, the people, by some strange occurrence, decide that I should be the mayor, they'll see a different operation here in the city. I won't be micromanaging the police force. I'll be putting the responsibility on a lot of the department heads to deliver and to save money on expenditures. And we'll be dealing with the state governor on a different footing. We're not going to be pushed around.
Now, you've lived in Albany for 40 years now, right?
I have.
Have you seen the city as in dire straits as it is right now?
No, never. It's gone down. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's gone downhill, and as I say, we're on the road to becoming, we're on the fast track for becoming Detroit on the Hudson. Take the city of Detroit, you can't even give a house away for $5,000 in many neighborhoods over there in the suburbs, right around Detroit. They've become a third world enclaves where you have no-go zones and you have Sharia law set up. We don't want that here in Albany. We don't want it anywhere in the United States. We don't need it. And as far as the city here, there's a real lack of leadership, absolute leadership. There's leadings in the wrong direction. So we've got to get right back on course, and we've got to restore our neighborhood residential quality of life. We have to enforce our immigration laws. We have to respect each other, and we have to stop playing racial politics.
The first day of petitioning is in 2 days, and on that first day, Kathy Sheehan is having a big fundraiser on State Street for $2,500 a person. What's your feeling about that?
Well, she's cashing in on Rezone Albany. That's why she was in such a hurry to get that passed, because now the developers are going to be flocking to her because she's going to permit mixed-use developments in the prime residential neighborhoods in the city of Albany, and that's going to kill the property tax base. So in the short run, her campaign is going to profit, but in the long run, all of us are going to suffer, and the city of Albany is going to become Detroit on the Hudson if there is not a moratorium put on that Rezone Albany until after the election, and to fully discuss and analyze and evaluate the negative impacts of Rezone Albany. And that's where the Common Council has to step in now. Their next meeting, they should pass that resolution, and I'm presenting that challenge to them. Step up to the plate and help save the city. Don't destroy it.
So what's coming down the pike as far as you envision?
What do you mean?
As far as what's going to happen, if we stay on the same course that we're on right now, you're talking Detroit on the Hudson. If we stay the same course, how long do you think before we would be classified as more or less bankrupt like they are?
I think that's the key question in this election. Take a look at the individuals that are running, not only for mayor, but for treasurer, for auditor. What is that auditor doing, that elected auditor? Why do we have to have a consultant? Why isn't the auditor auditing the city departments, find out what's going on there? We have a lot of people that are occupying offices and doing very little or nothing to benefit the city. What are the members, those 12 members of the Common Council who are just rubber stamps? You know,
mm-hmm.
What are they benefiting from this? They're only simply, look at Dan Herring, the outgoing alderman, member of the Common Council from the 13th Ward. He carried the water for Kathy Sheehan, and now he's retiring. He's bailing out. He's probably going to move to South Carolina or someplace else. We can't have this kind of activity going on with our elected officials. We've got to get people elected to office who are going to do the right thing for the people in the city of Albany.
It's truly amazing to just sit back and watch everything that's going on. But, you know, we will have more conversation as the election heats up. So do you have any final words today?
Yes, I just want to pick up. First of all, I want to thank you for, you know, Cynthia Pooler, Focus on Albany Fair and Balanced, because you've really given an opportunity for anybody who's running for office to be heard by the people. Thank you for that. Now, sitting back and watching, that's the trouble. Too many people are sitting back on their butts and watching what's happening and not doing anything about it. The voters have to get informed in this city, pay attention, and start really demanding better representation from their elected officials. And that starts this year with this election.
Wow. So as the campaign progresses, I'd like to have you back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts on the evolution of this campaign. So you've been listening to Joe Sullivan, who is the conservative mayoral candidate in the city of Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. But you said something very interesting, Joe. You talked about me creating a Facebook page with all of my interviews pertaining to this year's election.
Right.
How beneficial do you envision that to be?
Well, by doing that, you're fair and balanced, something which the local media is not, not only the local media, but the national media. We've got to get a fair and balanced media here. And you're actually posting the interviews with the various candidates, and the voters have the opportunity to listen to them and decide for themselves. They don't have to be brainwashed by some talking head.
Right. So, in addition to me doing Focus on Albany, I hope you people are listening to WCAA 107.3. And in a few weeks, I'll be having my own show on Monday mornings from 6 to 10. Thanks, Joe. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you,
have a great day. Bye.
You too.